Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Welcome to Tech Vibe Radio. This is Jonathan Kirstein.
And this is Audrey Russo.
Audrey, it's Wednesday night.
I know.
It's like December. And like, we've been on Wednesday nights now for like 3 months. And I think it's kind of fun. I kind of enjoy the Wednesday nights. And I feel like we're finally getting our groove on a Wednesday night.
Yeah. It's nice. It breaks up the week.
Do you know how many times I caught myself saying, have a great weekend, everybody, at the end of the show? I know. No, the weekend's still 2 days away. It's not good. But anyhow, I guess it is good in standpoint. When time is moving by quickly, it means stuff's happening, right? It means there's a lot of activity. And there's tons of activity going on in the region. And we always kind of take this time of year. You know, it's always fun to kind of like wind back a little bit and think about 2019. But more importantly, like, oh, geez, 2020 is just about here. I'm like, oh, God, 20. I mean, do you remember like when it turned 2000, right?
Right.
I'm thinking, oh my God, that was 20 years ago. It feels like maybe 5 years ago
right.
today. So yeah, so the time is in this crazy vortex. And I love kind of picking your brain about where we need to be steering things. Because I know a lot of times people are reading headlines about how awesome Pittsburgh is. And it is. I like reading those headlines. It makes me feel good. And people just want to kind of rest on our laurels. I think sometimes people maybe think that we've made it. And
you
Pittsburgh's
mean local
doing great.
People might. I don't think
yeah.
so.
Well, I think a lot of people kind of want to say, yeah, it's pretty great. You know, we've got all the restaurants in the world and Tuck's here and, you know.
You got to feed it. It's like,
yeah.
you know, it's like the furnace. You got to keep feeding it.
Yeah, but I know you often, you know, you always look at things quite differently than a lot of people. You're very analytical. No, I'm saying that as a very positive thing because, like, you're probably like an awesome chess player. I don't think we've ever discussed your ability to play chess or not.
I'm strategic.
But
yeah.
I'm assuming like you probably play chess the way you play Scrabble.
Right.
Right? And so you're always kind of thinking a few moves ahead. And I know like we've talked a lot about population and what's happening here in Pittsburgh. And that's going to continue to be something obviously that we wrestle with. And that population really and how it feeds into how our companies here can grow because they need talent and they need very specific talent. And but I'm just curious, like, what else is kind of in your mind right now? What have you been kind of thinking about when it comes to, like, where is Pittsburgh kind of lacking? Where do we need to beef up as we think about 2020?
Well, you know, it's so fascinating when you just – even if you spend time in Lawrenceville in the Strip and you see all these new buildings going
up. I know.
Up.
It freaks me out.
And it's right next to clapboard
buildings.
Old houses
built 120 years ago. Exactly.
Right. And, you know, you say to yourself, wow, like I hear people have conversations that are old family-run businesses in the Strip. They feel like they're getting pushed out a little bit right now.
You almost feel like it's not your neighborhood anymore.
Right. But I mean,
right?
The Strip, to me, when I moved to Pittsburgh 19 years ago, mm-hmm. almost 19 years ago.
Wow, so you're heading up on 20 years in Pittsburgh then pretty soon.
A year from now.
Right,
yeah.
Okay.
So I think about, I loved that. I loved the Strip. That was the one thing, despite what was going on in 2001. I thought, this is cool. This is some grit that has origins that are really deep and don't exist in a lot of places, right? Gentrification, you know, sort of bulldozes
yeah,
over that.
Exactly.
But now I'm hearing some
okay.
rumblings
okay.
of some of those stores.
Right, okay.
Right? Because, you know, the leases might be up. They might have a chance for someone to buy their building,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and they're questioning what is the Strip. And it's the first time I'm saying we're at this crossroads of could we create something that's not gentrificationable, right?
Yeah.
Could we coexist?
Right.
And where does that exist in cities that have had tremendous new economy growth?
Exactly.
And you don't see it. You don't see it that often. So if you go to Seattle, you go to San Francisco. New York has some of it.
Really?
New York has some of the grit that's left.
Okay.
But even still, they price themselves
yeah.
out of the market in terms of, so, you know, affordability.
Could this be a very unique opportunity for Pittsburgh to try to
I've always said that Pittsburgh has a unique opportunity to rebuild a middle class where other cities that are attracting the new economy tend to decimate.
Exactly.
And I always think, and how do we hold on to that, particularly the architecture? And I hate to sound old school mm-hmm. and looking back and right. not for the new world. A lot of these buildings are not energy efficient and, you know, they're hard to, you know, take to the new world,
right.
particularly around sustainability. But there should be things that we could do.
Okay.
And there should
like
be
like
practices that we should be able to embrace to keep some of that grit. Because I think that's what the people who do live here, that have moved here for the new economy, they actually like.
I agree with you. Detroit
is wrestles with that as well.
Yeah.
How do they keep their grit? How do they keep their maker mentality? How do they keep their builder mentality while they suffer from a tremendous amount of poverty and there's a new economy that's trying to, you know, resurge in those cities? And I think that's the opportunity. The question is, much of this activity in the new economy happens fast. And when it happens fast, things move fast. And the next thing you know, you're like, whoa,
decisions have been made,
missed that chapter.
Yeah, all of a sudden the building's up and the paint's dry and you're like, well, there it is.
Right.
And, oh, well, too late for that.
And particularly in places, I worry about Pittsburgh, and particularly in places where we don't have companies plant their headquarters from the new world economy here, because then they're just having an outpost. We have a lot of research and development
that's
saying, here.
No P&L.
But we don't have a lot that have profit and loss, where you get sort of the army of executives that are across what it would take to run a business,
mm-hmm.
plant themselves here. So
exactly.
Chief marketing officers, finance people, people who are running HR, you know, those we have from the old regimes. You see that in PNC, you see that in U.S. Steel. Obviously, you see that in Ansys, you see that in Federated, Alcoa. But these new locations, these new opportunities aren't bringing that diversification.
Exactly. So it's very exciting when Honeywell brings a lab here, when Facebook brings a lab here. We
so
love
that. Exciting. But they're not bringing the wide array. And when you think about that, people come in pairs. And when they come in pairs, it's not necessarily pairs that both work in the new economy.
Exactly.
And that part makes it tricky for us. So what I'd like to see, I'd love to see a lot more music.
There you go.
I'd love to see some music incubators.
Yeah. Ooh, a music
incubator.
Yeah. We don't have one of those that I know of.
I'd love to see that. Yeah. I'd love to see a fashion incubator, you know, or accelerator, whatever you want to call it. But, you know, other cities have that.
We have some bakery incubators here, which are pretty cool.
I know, right?
Yeah, there's one in Mount Oliver.
There is?
It's in the old Coleman's Bakery that I used to go to all the time when I worked at the hardware store.
And so what are they serving there?
I believe I've driven past. I've not gone in to partake, but I would like to. But it's like they're making like all types of baked goods. It's like a bakery, but it's based on the fact that people can come in and learn the baking profession, I believe, and kind of learn it there and
so
then scale out.
So that's exciting.
Yeah.
So we need to go sniff that out.
I'm happy to go and check it out and maybe come back with some baked goods. Because you know my penchant for the donut.
That's
too much fun. Hey, Audrey, we got a great show tonight as we approach 2020. We're talking to Lisa Williams from DQE when it comes to all things fiber. That's what makes the backbone of the internet happen. She's stopping by tonight. We have Jessica Gibson, who I cannot say enough good things about how cool Jessica is and the company she is trying to build with Aerial Precision Medicine. Just a transformative company. She's a Tech 50 winner this year as well. She's solving some of the toughest problems when it comes to treating people with all types of crazy conditions and being able to use technology to be precise with the medicine. And of course, we have Andrew Knox from Remaster Media. I've actually used his technology on this very show to clean some of the files up, which is kind of fun stuff. And he's finding actually a lot of Pittsburgh's music scene, Audrey. We can ask him tonight about what's kind of happening. People are using his software to clean up their music, clean up their podcasts, whatever they're recording for content. He's able to help them out with it. So fun show tonight, Audrey. I can't wait to get to it. So why don't we do just that? We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come right back. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Busseau.
Learn more about the Tech Council by going to pghtech.org. Hey, everybody. It is Tech Vibe Radio here on KDKA. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Busseau.
And Audrey, you know, I often say this. Tech Vibe Radio has become this, like, thing where it's like we just talked to so many people over the years. it's like friends and family coming into the studio.
Well, it's just like
right?
having a chat. Yeah, how come you don't have exactly. coffee for us?
Well, you know, that's not part of my contract. Oh, there it is.
Yeah. Only agua.
Only agua here on the show. No more caffeination as far as that goes. We got a really great guest. We have Lisa Williams from DQE hanging out with us. And everyone knows DQE. It's like the backbone of how business gets done. I mean, people take for granted that their internet flips on and that their email works and all that kind of stuff. It's just like it just happens, but it happens because there's some very, very smart women and men making that stuff happen and putting that infrastructure around. So, Lisa, welcome to the show today.
Well, thank you.
I said
John.
women and men. I said women first. I said women and men.
He did. I did hear him. I give him kudos for that.
Absolutely,
that
awesome. Man. Absolutely.
So, hey, Lisa, thanks for being here.
Hi, Audrey.
Really
nice
great.
To see you. Thank you.
So, you know, give us like the overview of DQA and.
Okay, so
many people just don't know.
Yeah, this is true. I mean,
what DQE, do those three letters stand for?
Okay, they stand for DQE. We're a regional fiber network provider. We've been in business for over 20 years. We deliver connectivity solutions to businesses in the area. You know, our fiber network extends over 3,500 miles.
Whoa. So there's 3,500 miles of fiber.
There is 3,500 miles of fiber.
That's like going to California.
So that's more fiber miles when you start multiplying by the number of fiber count, right?
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. So it's a lot for our area.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And we extend up far north, up to Mercer County, up like the Sharon Hermitage area.
Mm-hmm.
And we extend a little bit over into eastern Ohio. And we go down south now into West Virginia. So
right.
we are down Fairmont, West Virginia.
Okay. Hell, that's southern West Virginia.
Yeah, pretty much middle.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
Then we go over east Indiana and then extend out to Altoona. We've got some fiber network out in Altoona now.
So what's causing all this growth? What are some things that you can talk about?
Oh, customer growth, the technology expansions, the the bandwidth that everybody has out there. That's really what drives a lot of the growth that we see here. Businesses and consumers
are putting demand on
a lot of bandwidth. Yeah, and the consumers, relating back to our business, though we just actually serve businesses in the area, consumers are on their cell phone. While some of our customers are wireless providers. So that's driving the demand there as well.
So these are the things where it's just see how important fiber is. Like when you're even on a call, like there's fiber that's making that happen.
There is.
Yeah.
Fiber is needed.
That's why it's so important. Like I said, this is literally like foundational to us getting business done.
Are you seeing growth into the rural areas?
We do. Not as much, of course, as you see in the cities, but we are seeing growth into the rural areas. I mean, that's how our network has expanded as far as it is. This year, especially, we expanded our network up into Armstrong County. That's a little bit more rural than the Pittsburgh metropolitan area.
But we are seeing growth out that way.
Yes, we are.
Right.
So we do now have a fiber network up there. We added more fiber to Indiana. So it's growing, and a lot of the growth is built around, the internet, the high-speed internet everybody wants, but, also other products and services. People still want the Metro Ethernet. We still have, our dark fiber solution.
I like saying it's like dark fiber.
I know you
yeah.
do.
So people still want that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And
still
people
for the
who
high
are listening,
bandwidth.
What does that mean?
What dark fiber means?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, so dark fiber is actually the fiber without the electronics. So DQE can connect offices or connect you to the data center or whatever with just the pure fiber strands. And then the customer ends up putting their own electronics on the end, and they control the amount of bandwidth.
They actually light it up then, right?
Yep.
Like
when
I said, light up the fiber so it's dark.
Did you hear him?
He's
like,
I know.
He's like your walking ad man.
Yeah. Well, Lisa and I have been talking after work sometimes, and so, that's how it works.
He's learning.
I am.
I like it.
It's good stuff. And you guys have a really cool team that does all of this, and you're based on the South Side. And, I mean, tell us a little bit about the team and the environment and everything like that.
We have an excellent team. Our employees are really dedicated to what they do. They put everything that they have into it. Anytime, all of our customer orders, they're managed by, local people here that actually, work it from end to end.
Okay.
If there's any kind of questions, if there's any issues, they can just pick up the phone and
right.
then they get somebody local here in our office.
that's what it's all about. That makes all the difference to a business, too, knowing that there's something going on.
Yeah, no, we pride ourselves on the customer service. We really try to go out of our way and, you know, treat the customers right. That's what it's all about.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So what are you looking forward to as we get into this next decade?
Yeah, isn't that kind of weird? It's like 2020 upon us.
I know.
Now.
So you've finished this decade. Yeah. And, you know people want more.
Brain can go that far, but...
That's a few months away.
It is.
No, it's a few weeks away. Sorry.
Yeah, actually it is. Yeah. You're right. We're almost there. 2020
just that scary.
Is right around
but
the
it's
going
to be okay.
Yeah. You know, we're going to still expand our fiber network. You know, after this year, next year, we've got an expansion plan to go further eastward out towards Harrisburg. So we are going to take our fiber network and expand from Indiana through Johnstown, Altoona, State College, Shippensburg, and then to Harrisburg. And we're actually going to build a metro network, about a 90-mile ring in Harrisburg proper into the city there. So we're going to have more connectivity options.
That's pretty cool. I mean, that's very exciting that that's how you guys are growing that much. You're able to take this out to this part, the other part of the state.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are our plans. I mean, and it's all driven by customer need. You know,
right. you're not building it to build it. You're building it because you have people, they need to buy it, they need to use it and deploy it as far as that goes.
Yes.
And it's all still happening here locally. So if someone calls and they need to work with you guys, you're calling somebody in the South Side.
Yes.
That's what I like about it.
Yes.
Yes. And even cooler is, this is what I love. Every year, you guys are the sponsor of our tech map. This thing's gotten pretty wild and pretty big.
We love your tech map,
Jonathan. We love it, too.
And everyone loves it. When we go around the world, we bring it.
Do you?
We do.
Right?
Yes.
Oh,
it was most recently displayed in Japan.
Really?
It was. Kate Truman was there.
I brought it to the UK.
UK.
To Manchester, to London.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So what I love about this is on the front of our map, of course, is all of the different tech companies in Pittsburgh, but the back shows the growth of your fiber network. Mm-hmm. And so each year there's more strands that are, for lack of a better term, they're being added onto it. So it's kind of like, I want to take a time lapse, you know, like photography of the backs of these things, like a little flippy cartoon thing, and you go and get really big.
You know, that's a great marketing idea.
See?
I think I'll take that to my marketing specialist.
She might be somewhere nearby.
Come up with something.
Just saying.
No, but it's awesome to see, because I've been, you know, with the company for 14 years now.
Very cool.
So I have seen all of this growth, right? When it started and the network was, you know, kind of, the company was started just based on a 5-ring dark fiber network.
Really?
And that was really, the majority Allegheny County. Might have bled over a little bit into Beaver County, but, you know, here we are today.
You're talking about Harrisburg.
Yeah, we're talking about Harrisburg, 3,500 miles.
So as you grow that, then do you have to grow staff here in Pittsburgh to then service that?
We will grow staff here. We will grow staff there. We're going to be adding more people. I mean, our company has grown from 8 to probably about, we're at 80 now.
Whoa, and a tenfold.
I figured you are. So,
that's so cool.
If people want to know more about what's the website they should go to?
DQEcom.com.
DQ.
It's got a nice ring to it. DQEcom.com.
You can make a jingle out of that. Yeah. I think you have a jingle out of it. DQE.
Or 1-866 Go Fiber.
Even better yet. And you'll get someone local who ends picking up that phone, which is really, really cool.
Yes,
Lisa, I can't thank you enough for stopping by the show. We just love hanging out with you guys, partnering with you guys on all the projects that we do, and really just, you guys are the foundation of so much business here. Like I said, turn off the internet and see what happens.
That's right.
Not much gets done. So we're really glad of all the work that you do.
Yeah, we're all slaves to our internet and our phones these days.
I can hear the whips cracking right now.
Got it.
Audrey, we got to take a break, but we're coming back. A lot more Tech Vibe on this Wednesday night. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
Learn more about us at pghtech.org. Follow us on Twitter at pghtech. You're dialed right in, exactly square to Tech Vibe Radio. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
Audrey, it's a Wednesday night. Always having a good time, talking to the coolest people. And this guy we're about to interview, he's kind of near and dear to our heart, Audrey.
Is he?
He is.
Wow.
Absolutely. I mean, he's all about making people sound good.
And we love that.
And we
on
like
every
that.
Level.
On every level, exactly.
That's great. So who's in the house?
My name is Andrew Knox, and I am CEO of AKM Productions, and I have I'm here to talk about one of our new services called Remaster Media.
Okay. I like the name, too.
Thank you.
Cool.
What's your company do?
Well, we first started out as a music licensing and music production and music supervising company. And we have, you know, through our various connections, decided to create some really cool technology. One of them is called ContentCore.com. And this, the latest product is called RemasterMedia.com. So our mission is to help artists monetize their content. And, you know, I wouldn't have been able to get, you know, to where I am now without people opening the doors for me. So we want to help voiceover talent find their way to the best commercial. We want a composer to find their way to having their music featured on a Super Bowl commercial, and also a musician being able to play with other famous singers. And so we're all about trying to connect artists and help them monetize their talent.
So I have firsthand experience using your said technology, Audrey. This is why it's so much fun working at the Pittsburgh Tech Council, Audrey. As you know, we get to hang out with people while they're building stuff, you know, before it actually kind of hits the market.
So you were playing in the sandbox?
Yeah, I was playing in the sandbox a little bit. So, see, Andrew hangs out at the offices sometimes. He's always sitting in our kitchen, you know, plugging away. I'm like, what's this guy doing over there? So I start talking to him. He's like, kind of, tell me about what you just said right now about this technology he's put together. And I'm like, well, you know, I have problems sometimes when we're out, especially in the field, recording stuff. And we were actually in the middle of putting together our Tesla videos. When I did the test drive of the Tesla all summer long. So we had some great video, but the audio didn't quite match up, I guess, for lack of a better term. In fact, the first comment we got on YouTube was, this doesn't sound very good.
It was like, it wasn't from me. It
wasn't wait, from me. I didn't think about that. Are you Zpeng Lang 1?
No, I'm not.
No, you're not. Okay. So I was realizing that, yeah, the audio was pretty bad, but what was I going to do? I mean, this is what I had. So he's like, try this. So he shows me his setup, and I go to upload. I go to remastermedia.com. I take my file, and I can actually select what I want to optimize it for. Mm-hmm. So whether it's like YouTube or Facebook or whatever that is. So I said YouTube, and I upload the file. It took, what, about 15, 20 minutes? Yeah. It's kind of cool. You kind of set it and forget it. Like, just go do your business, and it's like making brownies.
Yes.
15 minutes later, ding. Hey, the oven. I mean, Remaster Media. My brownies. I mean, my audio is done, right? And so I pulled the file down, and it brought all the quiet stuff up, took some of the background noise down a little bit. It definitely brought the levels right up. I mean, I would call it pulling your bacon out of your fire to a certain degree, because you can have some kind of scratchy stuff, and you can definitely get it very playable. And this was the early version of it, too.
Yes,
and I know you've tweaked it out even more since then.
Yeah, and it's funny that, you know, now that you're talking about food, I can use my food analogy.
Please do, because I'm starving.
For this technology. But so basically, we created Remaster Media to help people optimize their audio specifically for the internet. And when you upload content to YouTube, it automatically compresses that audio. And you start losing fidelity. You start losing the sound quality of that file.
So if it's already a little sketchy, it becomes more sketchy,
right? Oh, absolutely.
Right?
So I use the analogy of like a loaf of bread, your audio is that loaf of bread. And as soon as you take that loaf of bread out of the oven, it looks great, okay? But if you upload it to YouTube, they're taking slices out of that loaf of bread.
Mm-hmm.
And now that loaf of bread starts to get much smaller. It still looks kind of the same.
It looks like a loaf of bread, but it's not the same loaf of bread.
It's not the same loaf of bread. So what Remaster Media does is kind of makes that loaf of bread resilient to those slices being taken out.
So
the file is still the same size. It's and you're still going through that compression process when you're uploading to the internet, but we're making it more resilient to that fidelity loss. And so now it sounds even more amazing on the internet than it does in your own studio. So we're saying, everybody, add Remaster Media as the last process in your workflow. Even if you go to a professional studio and you master your track in a studio, you should still run that track through Remaster
Media. I didn't realize that. Okay.
Yeah. As you're uploading.
It kind of protects it then from the compression that you're going to get as you throw it onto these different platforms.
Yes. Yep. So we're optimizing it specifically for social media, internet streaming. So we're really excited about where we are taking this technology.
So how did you start this? And why?
Let's see. How do I start? Well, I met the folks at Bon Jovi Acoustics. They are the brains behind the audio profiles that we've created. And I saw that there was a need in this business, and no one was doing what we thought about, as in, okay, well, audio doesn't really sound that good, you know, coming through Facebook or through YouTube. Well, why is that? Well, no one's really kind of talked about it. And I feel like we're kind of in this, you know, standard TV versus HD TV world, but with audio, okay? No one really knows how great audio could sound like until you run it through our technology, mm-hmm. okay? And all of a sudden, people are like, wow, you're really bringing kind of that that HD feeling to audio. So anyway, talking with Bon Jovi, they've created kind of like a hardware. Like, they make specific chips that go into TVs, flat-screen TVs, and car stereos. And I talked to them about taking this technology and kind of converting it into a mastering, an online mastering kind of platform. So that's really kind of how it started.
That's cool. So you have been doing this for how long?
20 years.
20 years. And your clients are from where?
There are advertising agencies, there are editors, there are TV networks, film companies.
From all over the world?
All over the world.
And how do people find out about you?
Well, they can go to our main website, which is akmproductionsinc.com, or they can go to...
Go to Remaster Media.
Or go to remastermedia.com.
I go right there. Right. No messing around.
And so why Pittsburgh?
Well, my wife is from Pittsburgh.
We love
Isn't
when
that
this
what
happens.
Always happens. It's called the Pittsburgh
We love
trap.
When this happens,
yeah, exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Well, he's like, I'd still be in California right now.
Could you still be in California?
No, absolutely. No. Yeah, we met at Duquesne University. I went to Duquesne Music School.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
Nice.
And
what did you play? What instrument?
Well, actually, composition was my main instrument, and voice. That's how I got into schools with my
voice.
You
sing?
Yes.
Are you going to sing something for us really quick?
I'm just going to make you sing.
I love when this happens.
If you have a lovely
just
singing
do like
voice.
A, you know, just
Oh, Salomio.
Good lordo.
Wow.
Hang on.
Is that the kind of stuff you sing?
Yes.
So I've, not I've rock with, and roll? Not
No, yeah, it's more classical opera. Yeah.
Wow. Who's your choir. Favorite opera star?
Pavarotti.
He got himself in a little bit of trouble at the end.
Yeah, though. But I listen to his voice. I don't care about his.
Oh my goodness! Yes, he did.
Yeah,
that's so interesting. That is
that's
so cool.
Great. And what is that range? Is that baritone?
Baritone. Yeah, good ear. Very good ear.
Yeah, that's phenomenal.
Very cool. See, only the cool people hang on Tech Vibe.
I love that. I love that you're here.
Thank you.
I mean, and it's exciting. So do you get to work when films are coming to Pittsburgh, or is there any role that you play?
Well, not really. Most of my clients are actually outside of Pittsburgh, which is kind of funny.
No, that's okay.
You know, I was one of the lucky ones. As soon as I graduated from Duquesne, I immediately went to New York City, and I jumped right into the music production business. And,
that's awesome.
I was super, super lucky. And
so did you get a degree in audio engineering, or
it was actually a composition / music technology? So I learned about audio engineering, sampling, MIDI, all that kind of stuff, how to program it, but I was never specifically focused for audio engineering. I was always around it, so I've always had an ear for it.
Absolutely.
And so this is kind of it's actually Remaster Media is I'm kind of jazzed about it because it's a different path than what I've been doing for so many years, which is finding great music or composing music and licensing music for TV commercials and so on. So now all of a sudden I'm doing something different, which is really exciting as well.
Love it.
Yeah.
You only got about a minute or so left.
Aww.
I know. This is so much fun. What I'm excited about is, like, you told me recently that a lot of local hip-hop artists are starting to use your stuff as a way because the producing,
local?
They're producing so much content, they need to clean it up quickly. They don't always have access to a studio, so they're able to load it up to your service and clean it up and get it out there. How cool is that? Tell
it's
us
very
about
cool.
that.
Yeah, well, it's very cool. I mean, actually, 90% of the folks that are using our technology now are from the hip hop artist community, actually worldwide, which is amazing. First of all, it's very easy content to produce, and also our remaster process is only $4.99 for 5 minutes of so it's also at a great price point.
It really is.
Exactly. Yeah,
for a lot of
folks. Can't beat that.
So we're also trying to meet new artists, and as they come on through Remaster Media, we're finding their content, and we're also sharing that content with some of our record producers.
So if you're making music, you have stuff that needs to be cleaned up, go to remastermedia.com,
so
upload your
files. Are you hiring?
Not yet.
He's going to be soon, though, because this thing's going to take off.
Yeah, because Jonathan's already.
That's right.
You see how Jonathan slid you his resume.
That's right, yeah, man. Yeah. I do that to every guest. I did to every guest.
No, this one, though. This well, one might be your number one.
He's kind of cool like that. But what can we say? But anyhow, Adrian, thanks for hanging out with us and really giving us the inside scoop as what's happening with Remaster Media. We're glad you're here in Pittsburgh.
Really great.
Yeah, doing that stuff.
Thank you. So. Thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Very cool. Audrey, we're taking a break. More tech vibes coming your way. This is Jonathan Kirshning.
And this is Audrey Russo.
Learn more about the Pittsburgh Tech Council by going to pghtech.org. So I'm really glad you're hanging out with us here on Tech Vibe Radio. We're nearing the end of our show. But Audrey, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say we have absolutely saved the best for last. We might have one of Pittsburgh's top rock stars here when it comes to all things health technology, man. Simple as that. Not only that, a Tech 50 winner this year. Kind of cool stuff.
Congratulations.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we have Jessica Gibson from Aerial Precision Medicine.
So let's jump in. Let's really just jump in and talk about what is Aerial, what's your background, why you're doing this.
So Aerial Precision Medicine is an integrated genomic and health technology solutions company. And I actually started out in school studying medicine, pre-med. I was in GI research, became a paramedic.
You were a paramedic?
Yes.
How long were you a paramedic for? Sorry, I had to interject. That's kind of cool.
1 year.
Okay.
Went to the Center for Emergency Medicine here in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And I quickly realized I am very passionate. But the empathy that I have makes it really difficult for me to render care. It's not instilling confidence when your care provider is crying, holding your hand.
Okay, that's terrible. Forget it.
But I think that industry is a really fantastic vehicle to take creative solutions and dramatically change the way healthcare is practiced. And that's where I really started working in industry and genomic testing and in pharma, kind of seeing a lot of the gaps that were happening in healthcare made me restless for change. And I'm not the kind of person that's going to say, oh, somebody should fix this problem.
I'm fixing it.
Exactly. Relentlessly.
Like
so
right.
Started Aerial with Dr. David Whitcomb, really looking at how can we use emerging technology and all of this data that we've generated, healthcare data, genomic data, to help doctors make more informed treatment decisions for patients and select the right therapeutics or the right treatment plan for an individual patient.
Right. When you think about how we're very often decimating people to thinking that you're just taking something and splattering it.
Yeah.
And hoping that it gets something.
And
hopefully we'll look back and say, oh, my God, those were the worst of times.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's an improvement from, I would say, the dark ages, but we have to pivot. And there's a lot of conversations about precision medicine and what is it. But this is where I think technology is so critical because it gives us a scalable framework for integrating all of this knowledge we've been generating over the past few hundred years. And how do we make it more efficient and put it to work for us in a streamlined way to don't benefit patients, you know, at the end of their disease course and saying, oh, if we would have known this 10 years ago, but give it to them now.
So what are you focusing on right now?
So we're focusing on pancreatic diseases. We've started in pancreatitis, which is a painful inflammation of the pancreas that causes patients to be hospitalized. Number one gastrointestinal reason for hospitalization, $10 billion a year in hospital days alone.
How many people are affected by this?
It's highly variable because you know, a patient can have one attack or a patient can have five attacks. It's all kind of lumped
gotcha.
In.
Gotcha, right, right.
So pancreatitis is different than pancreatic cancer.
Yes. So that's kind of a heart attack in your pancreas. It's an attack that's telling you something's wrong. But after that attack, your pancreas is forever changed.
And you said before we came on air, the pancreas is an angry organ sometimes.
If you mess with it,
if you
gets
mess
angry.
With it, right.
And so once you have pancreatitis, your pancreas is never the same.
It isn't. It's forever changed.
It's mad at
risk
you.
For reoccurrence.
Wow.
And the thing that sucks is that most of these patients are labeled alcoholics.
Really?
Because alcohol is something that's perceived that has been associated with pancreatitis. But what Dr. Whitcomb has done is shown that there's over 50 different things that can contribute to pancreatitis. I mean, we're testing children, you know, teenagers, people just starting college that don't have the lifespan to be an alcoholic. Less than 5% of heavy alcoholics ever get pancreatitis. So we're clearly coming at it from the wrong way.
Definitely.
And what we're using is genetic technology to start looking at how patients biologically might not be, their body might not be functioning appropriately, modeling predictively what the long-term consequences of that will be, and then helping their doctor and that patient make more informed treatment decisions, earlier, more appropriate diagnosis. But there is an overlap with pancreatic cancer, because once you've had this, you know, attack of acute pancreatitis and it progresses over time, that makes that organ more sensitive to, you know, failure to repair that cell turnover that leads to pancreatic cancer. And that's what we're starting to work in 2020.
Wow. So there might be some interventions that could be helpful one day.
Yes.
Right.
They're on the horizon. And this is exciting because kind of based on the foundational work we've done in pancreatitis, it's given us a really fantastic insight into early or pre-pancreatic cancer, where it's kind of known as a silent killer, where, you know, patients...
It's too late.
Yeah.
You find out and it's like a couple weeks to live or whatever it is, and it's something terrible.
And what we don't want people to have cancer before we figure out that they're at risk.
Exactly. Get way in front of it. So it seems like, I mean, whenever you have the time, you could like scale this to other conditions and diseases, I would have to assume.
Yes. So,
but obviously, with what's going on with the pancreas alone is enough to keep you guys obviously started and very well busy as far as that is. But is that the idea, that as you begin to grow as a company, that you can look at other conditions?
So what we've built in our enterprise software platform, it's called Advance.
Okay.
It's designed to advance care, advance clinical insights. But we've modeled expert systems to look at the pancreas as a very simple biological organ, three cell types that each do one thing. And now what we're starting to do is look at the gut, the stomach, because the same processes that drive pancreatitis in our patients also drive conditions like Crohn's, ulcerative colitis, celiac disease, IBS.
Right? You just hear that all the time now, right?
Yeah. It's a complex condition where multiple genetic things and multiple environmental things are happening in concert in one patient, and you have to be able to pick out the pieces.
This is why I get so pumped up, Audrey. We get to talk to folks, to women like Jessica Gibson here from Ariel, because they're solving our toughest problems.
Yeah, I mean
you can do anything you want. Like I said, you were a paramedic, you were pre-med, and you're like, I see this problem, I'm going to put together a really tough company to get off the ground to solve this. Like, God bless you, man. That's all I can say.
If you've just joined us, we're talking to Jess Gibson of Ariel Precision Medicine. And what's your website?
It's arielmedicine.com.
Okay, good. So people can
And you got a great site. You can scroll through there, and it goes through very succinctly what you guys do and how you do it. So it's a really fast, easy way to kind of have your mind blown, for lack of a better term. Yeah.
So what's the next year for you look like?
So next year, we are fundraising. We are launching into new conditions. Pancreatic cancer is right on the horizon. And we're looking to partner with other companies to help them take their genetic data and make it work for them and more useful to advance clinical insights and pharma. Because the greater visibility we have into kind of what's causing these different patients' conditions is only the start point. We have to be more strategic about solutions for the mechanism causing the symptoms and stop just treating the surface symptoms. And we're actively approaching pharma and trying to help them get maybe a little bit more sophisticated technology and how they're aligning.
I feel like you're really shaking things up. I mean, are you freaking people out in the industry a little bit? I mean, I think a lot of money's being made treating conditions a certain way.
Yeah.
Right? And you're coming in saying, no, we can shake this up a little bit.
It's interesting. So fee-for-service model, where the more doctors get paid, the more they do, the more they get paid. We're in the process of transitioning our healthcare to value-based care, where improving outcomes, controlling costs. And that's, we've kind of come in the midst of that, where some practices are really established on, you know, the more procedures I do in this full workup mentality, that's just what you do, and just check everything. And what we're finding is that can be invasive, sometimes potentially harmful to patients if it's unnecessary. And how can we be more sophisticated and strategic with the way that we're approaching precision medicine, where it's right diagnosis and then the right treatment?
I mean, pancreatic cancer, what's the survival rate upon discovery?
Well, discovery is generally stage 3 or 4, and it's the third or fourth leading cause of cancer death, even though it's like not even in the top 10 frequent cancers.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. And are there parts of the world or parts of the United States where there's more evidence of pancreatic cancer?
I don't know the specifics about the geographics, but I know in the United States and unfortunately countries that are becoming more westernized, the rates of diabetes and pancreatic cancer are on the rise. And this is where, you know, most conditions that we're facing mm-hmm. are complex conditions, that it's an environment and lifestyle and genetic context for an individual patient. And, you know, treating each patient like the average of all patients with these symptoms.
Right. It's just impossible. Fails.
Right. You've got to be precise. You need some precision,
well,
right?
Thanks for your passion, and glad to have you here in Pittsburgh solving really hard problems. And go to her website. As she mentioned earlier, it's
aerialmedicine.com.
Right. And if you're interested in knowing anyone that might want to invest in this company.
Exactly.
Yes. Definitely.
They're raising
needs
dollars.
To scale this.
Yes.
So don't be shy to.
And these
reach
companies
out.
Don't scale themselves, for crying out
no,
loud.
No, these are hard.
Yeah, it is. Like I said, this is like not an easy company to build by any stretch.
But and we've built it, and
exactly.
now we're revenues, and it's automated,
how
and
cool
we're
is that?
Pushing on the gas.
See?
And this is growth. This
oh,
is growth
that's
capital.
So cool. It's right. No wonder they won Tech 50 this year.
I know.
And I tell you what, I was so excited because they were in the running for Tech 50 2 years before, mm-hmm. and it's always like, yeah. And then this year, when I saw they won, I was like so pumped for them because I was like, man, like finally some recognition for the work that Ariel is doing. So I was so glad you could stop by and tell us what's really going on with the company and how you guys are looking out towards 2020. And we're just glad you're here in Pittsburgh doing what you're doing. So
grateful to be here.
Jessica, you're the best.
Thank you.
Thank
great
you.
Stuff. Anyhow, another tech vibe under our belt, Audrey. I don't know how it happens. It ends. But there's no worries. Every Wednesday we're on there. And guess what? Say it's a Thursday night, and you're like, really, you're just jonesing for Tech Vibe. I got to have my Tech Vibe. I need more Jessica stories. Just go to any of your podcast platforms. Hang out at iTunes. Go over to Google Play. Go over to Deezer, for crying out loud. Never even heard of it, but guess what? You can find Tech Vibe on Deezer. Just search for Tech Vibe. I think we have something like 4,000 interviews, like stockpiled.
I would imagine, yeah.
It's like ridiculous. So you can go back there and nerd out on all things Pittsburgh. Just do it and have some fun. And after that, have a great Wednesday night. This is Jonathan Kirsten.
And this is Audrey Rousseau.
Learn more about us and the Pittsburgh Tech Council by going to pghtech.org.